one day.
Welcome to the Because He Lives radio program, brought to you by Federal Motor Spares and the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. My name is Damian Roach, and I'm blessed to be with you for another week as we continue to prepare our hearts for this year's Nazarene Youth Camp, themed Christ-like. Remember, it will be held from August the 24th to the 30th at the Eastern Caribbean Bible Camp in Jezreel St. Philip for youth ages 12 to 18. So please continue to keep us in your prayers. I want to begin with a scripture reading from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. This embodies one of our daily themes, I am the true vine. And it reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. At the core of this year's camp, our message has a focus on Christian discipleship, which, when evaluated, is really just about becoming more like Jesus every day by following him and encouraging others to do the same. And as Jesus reminds us in John 15, that means remaining in him, abiding in him, living or dwelling in him. It's not a temporary visit, it's a rooted connection, a lasting, dependent, daily connection to Christ, and that produces a harvest. This harvest, our fruit, is first and foremost spiritual, but it's expressed tangibly in the lives of those who remain in Christ. As the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This kind of fruit isn't based on formal education or skill set. It's not reserved for the spiritually elite. It's for the fisherman as much as it is for the tax collector. Discipleship begins with a heart transformation. So it happens like this even before our knowledge or our abilities are even brought into service. For it is by grace we have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God. Now Jesus didn't say, you will know them by their works. He said, by their fruit you will know them. And let's listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So the fruit matters. It's very possible for someone to do good deeds, you know, good deeds in inverted commas, and still bear bad spiritual fruit. Because God isn't just looking at the action, he's looking at the heart behind it. And in this world that we live in, which is often concerned simply about how things appear, outward performance and achievement, things can be duplicated with enough talent, emotion, or resources, and still be bad fruit. Let's not forget Jannes and Jambres in Egypt. pharaohs, soothsayers, and magicians. They were able to mimic some of God's judgments up to a point. They duplicated some of the plagues. Well, they couldn't solve them, but they tried to duplicate them. But their hearts were not aligned to God. It is fallen human nature to judge based on action alone. But actions alone do not equal fruit. Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, "For it is out of the heart that comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." The headlines of our day, things like crime on the rise, scandals in certain organizations, unrest in different parts of the world, wars and rumors of wars, they all have their start in the heart. Long before they become visible in homes, in communities, or in nations, they start in the heart. And that's a key difference between the work of the church and those who just aim to do good. Because God isn't only concerned with what we do, He's also very much concerned with why we do it. Motive matters to God. The moralistic man who tries to check every religious box will still have a rejected sacrifice, just like Cain. But the one who is clothed in Christ alone, both he and his sacrifice will be accepted. It is so very important for us to understand there are some sacrifices that God rejects. Cain offered something, yes, but his offering was not received, and his next action told the truth about his heart. He turned and murdered his brother. As it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous." So Cain's deeds before and after the offering reveal the true state of his heart. And God saw it from the very beginning. When we think about Jesus' disciples, what do we imagine? Do we think about them as Jesus' workforce, his own committee that he consulted, a council that did work for him? Do we think about them in that way? We should rightly see them not as his workforce, but as his workmanship. Jesus didn't need the disciples so he could get the job done. But he was calling them to follow him and to see what he was doing and to live a life that emulated him. We read about it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And if we can rightly think about them, the disciples, maybe we can learn to think rightly about ourselves too. Not just what we are trying to do for him, but what God is trying to do in us and through us. Each test, each trial, each opponent that we face, or every opposition that we encounter, should refine another facet of the diamond of Christ in our lives. Every experience should bring more joy, more peace, more patience, so that we can contend for the faith, so that we may be able to add to our journey with God. As it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love." We need to go to God and stay in Christ to bear this type of fruit. We need to earnestly contend for the faith and not just against those who are out there in the world who may say things against us as believers. But our contentions are trying to apprehend what Jesus has delivered for us and firmly holding to it in spite of the opposition and the gales and winds that may blow us off course. When we run to God for our refuge, it's not a spiritual staycation. We're not going to God for a weekend to refresh and then we go back up into the world of work. It's a change of address. We're going there to abide in Him, and we are abiding there that we may bear good fruit. That's the yoke of discipleship. We leave everything else behind and we say we are following Him, and we are following Him wholeheartedly. This change of address is pictured in the Old Testament when David sends for Mephibosheth. He brings him out of Lodibar to Jerusalem to eat at the king's table. And when he comes and he eats at the king's table, he's not visiting and just coming to eat and making a journey every day to get breakfast at the king's table. He has to change his address. He moves from Lodibar to the city of peace. And this is what it looks like for us as believers. This is the same thing that God intended for Lot and his family when Abraham interceded on his behalf. But the question is, are we so stubborn that God has to send angels to drag us to safety? Abiding in Christ is the only way that we can bear lasting fruit. As we saw from Lot's example, though he was a righteous man whose soul was tormented by the evil deeds in Sodom, we recognize that he experienced so many challenges as a result of a compromised life in Sodom. We saw that even though his daughters were transported safely out of Sodom, Sodom still very much lived in them. The disciples lived with Jesus. They ate with him. They walked long distances beside him. They faced rough roads and rougher crowds. They saw all types of interruptions even while they were going to help others, like the woman with the issue of blood, while they were on their way to Jairus' house. And through it all, while the multitudes pushed and prodded and pressed against them, they followed Christ and they observed his demeanor, his character, his Christ-likeness. They recognized that through it all, whether he was being praised or whether he was being reviled, whether people were plotting to kill him, our persons were crying out, "Lord, Lord," they got to see the character of Christ up close, and they witnessed all that he did, and they were transformed by the spiritual fruit that he bore. And that's what we are longing for Nazarene Youth Camp, and by extension for our Christian discipleship efforts. We want to be able to see a body that thrives, one that bears good fruit, good trees bearing good fruit. As the scripture says, trees planted by streams of living water that bear fruit in due season. We want to see seeds that fall on good soil and produce a harvest that endures. And even as Jesus says in John 15 verse 5, we want to be able to abide in him. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Our desire to be more like Christ is not the duplication of Jannes and Jambres. We are not encountering behavioral studies. We are seeking to change our hearts. And the only way is by putting our trust and faith firmly in Christ, who does the changing for us. It is by beholding him that we are transformed, by being committed to follow him, to take on his easy yoke, and to take his light burden. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our discipleship efforts are weak and feeble unless you are behind them. We need you, Lord, to be at the root and cause of everything that we do, every ministry effort, everything that we say, everything that we do, Lord. May our motives be right motives. May our sacrifices be the sacrifices that you require. We're asking, Lord, for transformed hearts that seek to do your will and that teach others about you. And our main prayer and focus, even now, is that you would begin this heart transformation in the youth that you have placed in our charge. Lord, our camp can go without many of its activities and events, but Lord, it cannot go without Christ. If we went to do this work, Lord, before you, and you are not in it, Lord, it will be a waste of time. So please go before us and strengthen our efforts, Lord, with hearts and motives that are set aright before you. Help us, Lord, to go the long road with you, to journey, Lord, with you, through dusty streets, through turbulent waters, so that we might be able to see your glory and say, truly, truly, you are the Son of God. May we behold you, Lord, in a fresh way, and may we abide in you so that we may bear lasting fruit. These things we pray above all else, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness. To know you in your soul.